All right, Steeler Nation, you've had a Monday to wash everything off, to get that loss off your mind, but you know it's not off your mind because that was embarrassing, and it's been a rough season, even though the Steelers are still in playoff contention. But we got to talk about more about this offense and what actually has to happen for things to be different, not just in these next two games, but moving forward with what the direction is going to be with the offense without Ben Roethlisberger, with whatever direction they're going to go. Steelers offensive line coach Adrian Klemm resigns from his team, and the team is allows him to go join Oregon because he wants to go to college football. There's a lot of crazy things to talk about when it comes to this team and where the offense is and what actually needs to happen. I'll break that down with Adam Bittner of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He joins me today on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find us on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. Hit the like button on this video if you're watching it on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel for all the great content. Leave us a 5-star rating with a positive comment at the end of it, and you get a shout out at the end of the show. Joining me today, as I said before, is Adam Bittner, the digital sports producer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Adam, returning guest on the show. How you been, my man?
Been great. Moved into a new house and just celebrated the holidays with family. So, you know, excited to get into some more normal football talk now.
Well, I'd say it's hard to say this is normal for Steelers fans because Steelers fans have been able to rest on, hey, you have Ben Roethlisberger for the last, 16 years, and you have a team that's going to be mostly competitive and not get blown out the way that it has against the Chiefs and the Bengals. But here we are. They said it's 7-7-1. They need a lot of help to get into the playoffs right now, but we'll get into the playoff help later in the week. I want to still look at what needs to change about this offense, because I'm still convinced that's where this team is going to have to put most of its effort into fixing things, not just in these final two games, but for next year. And one of the changes we've heard a lot of people say, the Steelers need to have an overhaul. They need to change everything. They need to clean house and all these other teams. Well, one guy that, everyone that was kind of pointing fingers at, Adrian Klemm, their new offensive line coach, left of his own volition to go join Oregon, the college football team, Oregon Ducks, to be their offensive line coach, not even a head coach, but an offensive line coach. That's where everyone's like, wait, what? How did this happen? And Adam, I don't know about you, but when I see that and I see how the offensive line played this year, I see that as a, hey, they read the writing on the wall, man. You're not going to be long for this job, and the Steelers have other plans here. But that's where I see Adrian Klemm might have just been getting out in front of, you know what, I need to secure my next job because this one won't be here much longer.
Yeah, it's a complicated conversation because I do feel that the line has been a little bit scapegoated at times because it was easy, right? It's inexperienced. There's particular members who I think there's reasons to feel very disappointed in. I think, Kendrick Green is at the top of the list. You know, if you look at the Pro Football Focus scores every week like I do for post-gazette.com, Kendrick Green has been really bad for a really long time, and you can tell that with the eye test too. Other guys like Chukwuma Okorafor have had solid weeks at times. All of these guys have kind of gone on different runs, and I think generally they trended to be better. How much of that you can attribute to a position coach versus just natural cohesion, I don't know. And also it's still flat not good enough, right? You know, they can get better from being bad at the beginning of the season to half decent. But that's just clearly not been good enough, especially in the running game, save for a few moments like the end of that Baltimore game where you really felt like they were getting a push and, it was the type of football that gets you excited. You've still been missing components with the line play. So, I think it's hard to pin it all on the line coach. I think the construction of the team and the belief that the Steelers had and the guys that they put on this line also has to be factored into the equation. These were deliberate choices. A lot of these guys were here because that's what Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin wanted. And so you have to question, their judgment as well. But, I think starting with an offensive line coach in terms of overhauling things and, You know, having some accountability and you know, maybe looking for some fresh ideas is definitely a good start, but I don't think it's going to solve everything either.
I mean, it's also definitely not going to solve everything or even one thing. You have a lot of other things to address. But I do agree with you, because I'm also of the opinion that when I look at coaches and I want to actually critique them, I don't want to just rag on a guy because he had a bad first year. Because I mean, too many times you walk into a rough situation, it could just be rough, and you need to just get your feet under you as a coach, even a position coach, to see how you do. Now with Adrian Clem, he was handed a third round rookie at center, a fourth round rookie at left tackle, Chukwuma Okorafor, who, like you said, had some good days, had some not good days, and then Kevin Dotson was hurt. I mean, they were down to their fifth left guard at one point this season. They're still not healthy there either. And then your veteran presence was Trey Turner, or a guy who the Chargers didn't even want to keep around. That's a tough situation to say, hey, go manage that and make that a really good offensive line. And that never happened, of course. But when I look at what this might say about the future, is to me, when I look at this roster, and this is eventually the question, we'll start to explore a little bit more in the coming segments here, Adam, is when you look at this offense and what they have, they do have playmakers. Deontay Johnson, despite him fumbling out of nowhere yesterday, he's a playmaker. You look at Pat Freiermuth, he looks like a playmaker. You look at Najee Harris, he looks like a playmaker. You have weapons on this roster. If you were able to get a decently competent quarterback with a better offensive line, a much better offensive line that you put some of that cap money into, where the Steelers are at least going to have $45 million next year to spend in their salary cap, and then maybe even invest some draft capital, you can make a new offensive line. But the question might become, okay, do we want this new offensive line and really what's going to be a whole new offense to have the same coaches from last year? Do we want a fresh start that everyone's coming into this at the same time and everyone's sitting it down? That to me is where the Steelers, I think, are going to be headed with this upcoming year. When we're talking about an overhaul, it might just be like, hey, you know what? In the areas where we're revamping everything, that's where we're going to get our freshest faces.
Yeah, I think the pieces have to fit together better. And I'm not just talking about the guys on the field. I am talking about the coaches and, getting the most out of the personnel you have. You know, what's the old saying? You go to war with the army you have and not the army you may want. I think that's where the Steelers are right now. Is like you said, they have playmakers, but are they being used the way that they should be? They have linemen, but let's look at Kendrick Green as an example. Did he ever belong at center? Was that just, a flight of fancy for this franchise, just believing that they could go get the guys they wanted at the top of the draft and then take this unproven center and trying to plug him into a position? Could he be better if you move him somewhere else on the offensive line where he's, a more natural fit? Could we be having a different conversation a year from now if you're reconstituting the way these pieces fit together? I think that's a valid conversation to have. And I'm not saying I know Kendrick Green, can be fixed if he's moved to another position, because I think there's, certainly a lot wrong with his game right now. But I think that's an example of how, they're trying to make the players they have fit a way they want to play, rather than doing it the other way around, saying this is what we have, how can we make this work?
I want to address that a little bit more in just a second here, because I think that's a big part of what's going on right now with the Pittsburgh Steelers, is that they have limited resources when it comes to addressing how they want to play the game of football. And they are trying to find different ways in how to use those resources. We'll talk about that in just a bit more right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm Chris Carter with Adam Bittner of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter with Adam Bittner here. We are continuing our discussion about how the Steelers coaches are using things. Again, Steelers offensive line coach Adrian Clem has left the team. He won't be finishing the season with them. Still an odd move. You don't see that too often with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But again, we look at we talk about repurposing some of the players. And of course, Adam, what you're referring to with Kendrick Green, he was a guard all through college. He played four games at center, and they were hoping that they could convert him to center and say, hey, just be this guy and handle his part. But you saw there were plenty of times the communication wasn't there as the center, and the center is very important to everything. And the Steelers have maybe the best collection of centers in the history of the NFL when you go team by team. When you go back to Mike Webster, Damani Dawson, Marquise Pouncey down the line, like the, you know, even Ray Mansfield back in the day. But when you look at how they've tried to handle this situation, it was like an acknowledgement, like, well, hey, we didn't go out and get any guy in the early parts of the draft, so we got this guy in the third round, and we hope that we can make something the best out of this. And they didn't invest in anyone really behind him other than keeping J.C. Hasenhauer, bringing back B.J. Finney. Granted, both of them have been hurt for a lot of this season, so that's a major challenge that they face. But still, this was an attempt with Kendrick Green that just hasn't worked out. And something that I've noted, you know, from the very jump is that when you look at his hands and when he's snapping the ball, he doesn't know how to get his hands from snapping the ball to engaging and locking up defenders to be the aggressive type of player that he showed he might have been able to be at Illinois.
Yeah, and well, that's what did we hear at Illinois, that he was, you know, he was ferocious, that he had that mean streak that the Steelers were looking for this offseason. And I think what we're seeing is that it's playing the offensive line is more complicated than that. It's not as simple as just wanting to or just being stronger than the other guy. It's about technique. And, I'm certainly not as expert in that as I am watching a receiver and watching, you know, guys come open and some of that, you know, more sexy parts of the game. I'm no expert in line play, but, I think that's an example of how it's more than what the Steelers made it out to be and just getting guys, who fit a style. And I think you could make the same argument with Najee Harris. I think we know that he's a power runner. We know that he's talented, and we know that when he's putting him into a position to succeed, he can. But it's more than just his brute strength that the Steelers need to have a good running game. And I think both of those picks reflect that, that you can't just fix things with big guys who have powerful styles. It has to be the right fit. And it has to go, you know, to being the second level of being a professional and, being good at the fundamentals. And I don't think as a team, the Steelers are, you can start with Kendrick Green, but it's certainly not just limited to him. And so when I look back at the draft, that's kind of what I think is, a lot of the talk that there was leading up to that draft was an oversimplification of what it would take to have a successful running game. And it wasn't as simple as swapping in a couple of new guys with a different reputation than the guys that you may have had before, or in the case of Marquise Pouncey, just not being able to do it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, again, you looked at last year and you saw Marquise Pouncey. He was not the same Marquise. He couldn't get any drive in the interior offensive line. He couldn't pull and hit anymore. But you did know that he could call out what he was seeing and at least say, hey, offensive line, this is what's coming. This is what we got to adjust to. And that's why Ben Roethlisberger loved having him so much, was that they had that second nature where they didn't have to even say anything. They both saw the same things. They identified the same things. And they were able to keep things moving to keep things competitive. Now, as far as Marquise Pouncey, obviously his body was breaking down when you just saw it. He couldn't snap the ball consistently. He couldn't get as much low anchorage to establish leverage there. So that's certainly a concern there. But also, it's also acknowledging what the Steelers had to try to do this offseason. They knew that they had very limited cap space because, one, the cap space was limited to everybody, but especially in a year where you're still paying a lot of money to your quarterback, you had to find a way to lock up TJ Watt, and you didn't have that much. You still had a lot of money locked into players that were just stuck on your roster because of older contracts. You go into the NFL draft. Do you take the sixth or seventh best offensive lineman, or do you just say, hey, let's get the best player at this position and the best player at this position and go with that? The Steelers didn't want to be in a situation where they're doing themselves what they've done in prior years, where, say, you know what, they went with Artie Burns when they could have gone with a guy at another position who was, you know, clearly a one or the first or second best at that position that could have addressed something that could really help them, and instead reaching for something for need rather than for value as far as what you're getting in that spot. But I'm really intrigued to see, when we talk about overhaul, when we talk about what this team has to do to change things in this offense, I do think it starts with the offensive line and putting an offensive line together that will actually coalesce, that will actually, you know, build together and advance as a group. And that's going to take, I think, at least two decent free agent signings, you know, paying guys upwards of $7-8 million a year to come in, even if it's just for a year or two, to be the stopgap guys, and then make making your early investments and saying, hey, okay, now let's get these offensive linemen in the early parts of the draft and build around that. But here's the mix here, Adam. You're going to run into a situation where, and we talked about this off camera, you need to make a choice in free agency what positions you're committing to financially so that you can commit to positions in the NFL draft. Because if you go into this draft season saying, hey, we signed a free agent quarterback and we traded to get such and such. And then it turns out that, you know, the center that you really wanted is gone. The tackle you really wanted is gone. And the quarterback that you could have taken and not paid a whole lot of money for is there. You're going to be stuck behind the eight ball all over again. And then you're going to be saying, man, how did we get stuck with X player who wasn't the best at their position?
Right. And I think, you know, you've also got to address that question of who, you know, what do you want to do at quarterback? Because I think that's part of the problem here too, is that, you know, because of Ben's limitations this year. Yeah. You know, on certain plays, he can still make throws that make you remember the quarterback he used to be. But too much of the time he can't move, and too much of the time that forces the Steelers into a play calling box where, you know, they have to get the ball out quick. And that's not only because of the line, but it is, you know, it's partly because of the line, but it's also because Ben can't really move anymore.
Yeah, he can't.
And that really limits, you know, what they can call. It limits what he's looking for on a play, because he has, you know, that
internal clock.
Clock going off in his head and saying he has to get the ball out, and he's missing open guys and he's going to guys who are covered. You know, or he's going out to guys on the boundary. I think there was one throw to Ray McLeod yesterday that just, it was just straight out to the boundary. There were four guys there waiting for him. And that just smacked to me of last year when, you know, defenses started to figure out what Ben could and couldn't do and were able to just gang up on his receivers because they knew where they were going to be. So I think you also have to answer the question of, you know, who is the quarterback going to be and how does he fit with these pieces that you're going to want to go out and get either through the draft or free agency.
Right. And again, it's going to be about the, you know, for me also the financial makeup of the team, because $25 million is part of Ben Roethlisberger's salary cap hit. That is his salary cap hit, almost $26 million. When he's the highest paid player in your team and you're the way you construct a roster with your salary cap, those players that are the highest paid players in the team, like TJ Watt will be next year, they need to be the guys that are being ultimate difference makers for you. And Ben Roethlisberger, don't get me wrong, I'm not a guy that bags on Ben Roethlisberger all the time. I've been on this show several times defending him against the Locked On Bengals host, Locked On Ravens, Locked On Browns, anybody that's disparaged him and said, oh, he stinks, he needs this, that, and the third. Like, I'm not saying Ben stinks, but I'm saying at this stage of his career, he's not reading the field. He's not able to do these extra things. He has based his entire career off of being a good instinctual quarterback, and when those instincts of how to read a defense fail him, he's been able to extend a play, use his size, use what mobility he used to have to say, hey, and then have a super powerful arm to be able to fit the ball into several different places that most quarterbacks couldn't fit it into. And the thing is, he can't do that anymore, and he hasn't adapted enough to be the super cerebral quarterback that beats you with his brain and his reads. And I do think that whatever composition the Steelers come up with in the coming years, it has to be that if you're going to get a rookie quarterback, then the rookie quarterback needs to have a lot of similar of a situation that Baker Mayfield has, you know, a stacked offensive line, a really powerful run game, a couple of weapons that he can trust to throw to. And then you're banking on, hey, defense, go out and win most of the game. We're going to ask this quarterback to do just this amount of stuff while he develops. And if he doesn't develop, then we actually go to get the air and make that investment later when we rebuilt the offensive line. But that's where, to me, where the Steelers overhaul has to be. They have to commit to which part of the offense is going to be the part that they actually build around. And to me, if you go and get the quarterback without reinvesting in at least partially the offensive line, I think you're going to be putting that quarterback in just as rough a situation as Ben Roethlisberger, only he won't have the system he's been around for the last 16 years to cope with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the problem that you're seeing, is that could you live with a quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger if he was making significantly less and you were able to reinvest the money that he's making, you know, into other players? I mean, look back at those 2005 Steelers. Obviously, Ben was younger and could move and could do different things, and that's why they were so good. But he had so many pieces around him. He had a Hall of Famers around him. Mm-hmm. If you look at this offense, who's a Hall of Famer on it right now that you know for sure is going to be in Canton someday? No one. And that's because you have to put so much money into Ben Roethlisberger and you have to develop people around him rather than doing it the other way around. And, you know, I guess it's impossible to do with a guy who's been in the league for 18 years. He's going to expect a certain amount of money. You can't pay him $5 million. You know, that kind of is what it is. But, you know, if you can take a young quarterback or maybe even, you know, a free agent who makes, you know, a moderate amount of money, maybe he's more of, you know, a good backup type, but you can go out and beef up the offensive line until you can get that next guy who's, you know, going to be your long-term quarterback. If you don't like the guys who are in this year's draft, you know, it's all about composition and how you spend your money. And what we're seeing this year is that because you clung to Ben Roethlisberger, you have deficiencies in other areas, and there's no real way to remedy that. You know, until you move on from the quarterback. And I think that's the place that we're reaching is that, yes, is this all his fault? No, but no. It's certainly a team construction. His presence forced them to build the team in a way that there probably was no way that this team could really have success this year.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing is that with that situation where they were limited in such a way, they're still, you know, in the playoff hunt, and they still have beaten multiple teams who are also in the playoff hunt or even in the playoffs. So they have still found a way to win in the most awkward of ways this season. And I think that speaks a lot to the potential of the players that will be on the roster moving forward, especially the players that we know. They're not, again, not Hall of Fame caliber guys, but guys that you're like, you know what, I can work with Najee Harris, and I can work with the guys on defense, and I can work with Pat Freiermuth. And, you know, maybe you want to say the one offensive lineman that you might work, you know, keep working with is Chukwuma Okorafor, if you want to keep him around just for so from overlay. And maybe you see, you know, Dan Moore, Kendrick Green, figure something out if Green's moved to guard or if Dan Moore grows up at offensive tackle. But the bottom line is this, like you said, they invested in Ben Roethlisberger. And part of it's also they were stuck with him just because of the way that his contract was structured. Even if he retired or, you know, even if they cut him, it still would have been a rough go here. So it's like, you know what, let's stick with the quarterback that knows our offense. Maybe he put something together. He didn't, and that's just where they are. But I don't think that's a death knell to the entire franchise's hopes of ever being good or great again as a team. We've seen teams rebuild. We've seen teams find new answers on their roster. It just might be that the Steelers need to find it differently than finding the next, you know, heir to Ben Roethlisberger like everyone wants to find all the time. It's not that simple. There's other things that I want to address with this offense. It's going to be an all offensive show. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit here. So I want to talk more about that with Adam Bittner. But first, I got to tell you guys about betonline.ag. BetOnline has you covered all season long with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. As football season continues the march to the playoffs, BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use your promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, to receive your welcome bonus. Again, that's LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. From basketball to football to NHL to boxing to UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season at BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. And BetOnline, where the game starts. Wrapping things up here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter here with Adam Bittner of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Adam, I want to talk a little bit more about these receivers. You know, I'm not going to harp on the tight end position. I think Pat Freiermuth has done a heck of a job for rookie season. Eric Ebron's been hurt. You know, that's a rough spot. And I even say Zach Gentry has really shown more than I thought he was going to this season with his effort. But a lot of people are questioning, well, you know, why so much Ray McCloud, and, you know, and why is Chase Claypool doing this and doing that? I actually thought Chase Claypool actually put in a better effort in this game than he has in other games, and he wasn't pointing afterwards on fourth downs when they need to, you know, not be running clock in the fourth quarter. But there's clear just signs of, hey, things have gone a bit awry to what the plans and the hopes for this group. Chase Claypool had a really strong year last year. I believe he had 13 overall touchdowns when you include the playoffs. There was a lot of hope that he could take a step forward. He clearly took a step back. That's not dooming. He can, of course, come back. He can come back this year or next year, excuse me, like Deontay Johnson came back this year. But there are inconsistencies there. You know, Deontay Johnson clearly a better receiver this year, but also he has his letdowns too. He had a fumble out of nowhere in the game on Sunday. He had another drop in the game on Sunday that's come a little bit more on it late at the season. But where do you see as the pieces that might maybe, like, you know, whoever does come in here at quarterback, this is the wide receiver hope that they can have for next season, it being maybe a little bit better than it has this year?
Yeah, I think, you know, part of the issue obviously is you've lost Juju, and I think that affects everyone, you know, because of the things he's able to do. And you know, I think the reason you're seeing so much Ray Ray is that his skill set, limited as it might be, is just what fits with Ben Roethlisberger as he is currently constituted. The short, quick throws, the speed that Ray Ray McLeod has. Obviously, he plays on special teams because he's fast and he can move. And he's quick, and I think that's why he's on the field as well, is because at least in theory, you can get the ball to him and maybe he can do something with it. And that's something that I don't know that we've really seen from Chase Claypool. He's more of a go up and get it guy, a combat catch guy, you know, the kind of guy that you can throw it up and he'll find a way to come down with it, you know, if it's a good throw. And unfortunately, you know, that's just not where Ben is he's not able to consistently throw downfield. And maybe make the best use of Chase Claypool, you know, at this stage of his career. And that's why you're seeing the receiver groups kind of more tailored to what Ben can do. Obviously, Ray Ray McLeod probably is not the best form of what you'd want him to be doing. He's just who the Steelers have, and he's just what they have to deal with, you know, for now, because that's what fits Ben's style. I think that there's guys on this roster, and I would start with Chase Claypool, who might look completely different with a different quarterback. You know, I think Deontay Johnson might even be able to take, you know, step it up to another gear. Right now he's a fringe Pro Bowler, but what were they saying about him when he was coming out of Toledo? That there were comparisons to Antonio Brown, and you know, I think he's shown that he's, you know, he's not quite Antonio Brown in his prime yet, but he's shown flashes that he can be that guy, and I think it's you know, possibly a matter of fit with him. So James Washington is another guy that I think is worth talking about because he's fallen so far off the map. And I think he's another one that just doesn't quite fit with Ben at this point. You know, and I say that because I don't necessarily really know what James Washington does well. And that's a problem when you're dealing with a quarterback who also doesn't do a whole lot of things well. It seems like their games just flat out don't mesh. And I think that's a reason that we haven't seen him. Is because of where Ben is and where he is just doesn't work the way it was supposed to when he was drafted.
But Adam, weren't Mason Rudolph and James Washington roommates? Wasn't that supposed that was supposed to be a big thing that also worked out? I do agree, because James Washington does bring merit. We've seen him be a playmaker at times, but he's a deep ball guy. He's a guy that's at best when he's 20, well, I didn't say just 20, but I'd say 10 to 15 to 20 yards downfield, and you're giving him a chance to go up, catch the ball, you know, take a hit and keep moving. And Ben's just not that person right now. And again, we're not talking, when Adam's talking about Ben's deep ball, he's not saying it has to be a 40-yard bomb down the sideline. Just it's a post pattern. Hit him 15 yards down the middle of the field. Ben just doesn't hit those consistently. He rarely attempts them anymore. And I think that's another part of this offense that severely limits it. When you can't attack the middle parts of the field, that means those linebackers and those safeties, they're a lot more comfortable to be more aggressive and take away different options. And they're also especially aggressive against the run, because they're like, you know what, we're not scared of you throwing to this part of the field because you're not going to do it, so let's go take away the running back and make him a non-factor, even though Najee Harris, he's been a significant factor in several of the Steelers' wins when you look at what he's been able to bring to the table. You know, I'd say even without him, they might have at least four or five more losses on their record with the way that they've been playing this year, and you look back at some of the numbers that he put up. But bottom line for me, when I look at this receiving core, I stress this a lot. I won't bury Chase Claypool and say that he's not going to get better. He certainly has to grow up as an individual. He certainly has to get, you know, avoid the taunting penalties, avoid the crazy mistakes, you know, stop with the drops. But Deontay Johnson was a drop. Was having all the drop issues last year. He made that a much less problem this year and was one of the more consistent catchers going into about 2 or 3 weeks ago when the drops started to reemerge again. But he had been a much more consistent weapon this year. Chase Claypool can grow just like Deontay Johnson can grow, and Deontay Johnson can grow even more. But I also think another reason you saw Ray-Ray McLeod so much, Adam, is because Juju Smith-Schuster was the slot guy for this team. That's why he was brought back, was to be Ben's security blanket. And when he was gone, it's like, all right, well, are these guys really slot guys? I mean, Dante Johnson could be a slot guy, but, you know, then you're losing your shiftiest receiver and your best separation creator outside the numbers, and you need that to open up other things in your offense. I mean, I think a lot of it is circumstantial and unfortunate for what's happened to with the Steelers receiving core, but they're in a position where, you know, I think next year they can't really make it part of the overhaul. I think they would behoove them to maybe make sure that Juju Smith-Schuster can come back and be part of the mix for whatever they want to do, unless they, again, it depends on what they do with the offensive line and the quarterback position. But, you know, I think this is a position where they're going to have to find a way to live with Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, and maybe a couple other guys that they either bring back or bring in cheap for free agency or late in the NFL draft.
Well, yeah, and I think you can do that with this group as constituted. You know, and I think talking about Juju, there's a reason that Ben wanted him back so badly, and it's because there was the fit there, and they knew that, and his skill set as a slot guy fit with what Ben was able to do. He did the things that Ray-Ray McCloud is doing now better than Ray-Ray McCloud does them, and that was important, because then if you can cast Ray-Ray in the right role and Juju in the right role, then everything starts to work off of that. And then when you lose that guy who Ben really was his security blanket, then the whole offense changes. And I think there's enough here that the right quarterback can come in, the guy who can take advantage of all of these receivers' strengths, you know, can make them look a lot better, can make Chase Claypool look a lot better. I think what we're talking about here is structural. But with Chase Claypool, there's definitely room for criticism of his game. I hate that he can't seem to stay on his feet. Whatever he goes, you know, whenever the ball's thrown his way, he's going to catch the ball and he's going to go down immediately. I hate that about his game. But that doesn't have to be the only thing he can do if you get the right guy to take advantage of his strengths. And I think that's just where we are with this receiving core, is that it could be good enough for someone else. Without Juju, it's just not good for Ben, and it's not the right fit. And this whole, you know, I've talked about it since the middle of the last year. The short, quick throws, letting guys make plays in space, that's not what this receiving core necessarily on the whole is good at. You might have guys who are good at it, like Deontay Johnson specifically, and maybe Ray-Ray, you know, in limited quantities, but you don't have a holistic group that is good at doing that. And when that's all your quarterback can do, it's just a bad fit.
It is a bad fit. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot before we get out of here, Adam. You talk about the right fit for a quarterback. Do you see that right fit being a rookie in this NFL draft class, or do you see that right fit being a veteran that they need to either go out and sign a free agency, trade for, or find a way to work the quarterback carousel that we saw go to work last season and put quarterbacks that we never thought would be where they are, like Matt Stafford with the Rams or Carson Wentz with the Colts, getting a quarterback through either of those means?
Yeah, I think it's worth taking a stab with the team that you have, because I think there are good things going on here. You know, you got a good guy at each level of the defense, and Minkah Fitzpatrick, Cam Hayward, and TJ Watt, and you're not always going to have that. And I think if you're going to make another run with this team as constituted, you want to see what maybe a veteran quarterback who's a known commodity, who you know what you're getting, can do. And maybe that doesn't preclude you from drafting the next guy, because I think this year is a year you might be able to get that next guy in the middle of the draft rather than having to be at 1, 2, 3. So I think it could be an interesting year from a draft perspective for the Steelers, because I think they could do both and just kind of see how the year unfolds. You know, maybe you get a Teddy Bridgewater type, because we've heard a lot about, you know, how Mike Tomlin wants a mobile guy. And I think, you know, Teddy fits that mold. You know, how does that work? And just kind of you can do both and just see how things work. So I think that would – I guess I'm going to take the middle ground there and say, I think, you know, maybe you could get a veteran, maybe you could get a rookie, or maybe Mason Rudolph even fits that mold of, you know, a veteran quarterback who can move a little bit better. We saw that at the end of that game yesterday. You know, he got out of a tackle that there's no way Ben Roethlisberger's getting out of.
When he was back there, I thought he was dead. I remember watching that play and like, well, that's over. And then all of a sudden, like, whoa, he's running. But again, that's the thing. When we talk about mobile quarterbacks, we're not talking about Lamar Jackson. We're not talking about Kyler Murray. We're not talking about what Malik Willis does at the Liberty. We're talking about just being athletic enough for that. If there's 10 yards in front of you, I can run and get that as a quarterback. That's what you're talking about.
Or scramble. Just scramble.
Just move around. Being able to extend a play a little bit. That's what we're talking about when it comes to what could be different with the quarterback position. I personally think it should not be Mason Rudolph. He needs to be your career backup or allow him to move on or whatever. But I really think there's a chance that if you get a guy who's athletic enough, that's why I don't think it's like Matt Ryan or one of the older veteran quarterbacks that might be floating around in free agency. I do think you need a younger guy who could be responsible. You say, hey, he's got a good head on his shoulders. He'll make good decisions. And then it's like, hey, we're going to put you in these limited circumstances where you won't be asked to do a ton, but you will be asked to use your athleticism to extend a play here or there. But we won't be asking you to pick apart defenses at some high cerebral level. Like you're a 10-year veteran at the quarterback position in the NFL.
Yeah, well, I think there's certainly guys in this draft that fit that mold, and you can start with Kenny Pickett. I think Sam Howell from North Carolina. You know, you've seen that gear in his game. I think those guys could both be good fits, and you know, maybe like I keep coming back to Teddy Bridgewater. Maybe you know, if you have two guys who can work together, and you know, maybe Teddy mentors Kenny Pickett or something like that. And then if Teddy Bridgewater gets hurt, then you don't have to change your whole offense because Kenny Pickett can theoretically do the same things. There's a lot of possibilities. I think it just all starts with, like you said, you got to be able to move. You got to be able to take advantage of your receiver strengths. And you got to be able to, you know, possibly, depending upon how this line comes together, compensate for its shortcomings. And currently Ben Roethlisberger really can't do any of those things. And I think that's why we are where we are.
We'll certainly see how the Steelers are where they are in the upcoming weeks. They got two big divisional opponents. We'll be talking about those matchups as the week goes along. Adam, thanks so much for joining the Locked On Steelers podcast. We appreciate you so much with all your time and you being a recurring guest. Let people know they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. You see it down here. I'm on Twitter at FujiMaster24. You can also find all my work at post-gazette.com alongside all of our Steelers writers, Brian Batko, Ray Fittipaldo, Jerry Dulac. They do a great job covering the team day to day. Obviously, we have our columnists, you know, Joe Starkey, Gene Collier, Ron Cook, and Paul Zeiss. Check out everything they're doing too. You know, we're gonna run through the tape here and make sure we're giving you the best coverage we can through the end of the season. So check it out and please consider subscribing because that definitely helps us do the journalism we love to do.
Absolutely. Do check them out at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. They do great work. I'm Chris Carter of the Locked On Steelers podcast. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. You can also follow this show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. Hit the like button on YouTube. If you're watching this video, hit the subscribe button to get all of our daily content. Thanks so much for checking out the Locked On Steelers podcast. We're going to have Tony Serino. He's back. We're going to have a Tony Wednesday checking things out, getting his perspective on the Steelers and where they need to be in the final weeks of this season. Chris Carter, the Locked On Steelers podcast. Thank you so much for checking me out. Be back in your ears and on your screens very soon.